Shalom, and welcome to Torah Bites. This is Torah Bites for the week of March the 25th, 2023, the 3rd of Nisan, 5783. This week's message is entitled Divine Aromatherapy, and I'm reading from Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 1 and verse 9. And the priest shall burn all of it on the altar as a burnt offering, a food offering with a pleasing aroma to the Lord. Do you have a favorite smell? I've heard it said that our sense of smell supplies one of the strongest memories human beings possess. Whether we believe in aromatherapy or not, it's difficult to deny how various fragrances can have a profound effect upon us. Some fragrances may spark our appetite, while others may excite us, clear our minds, or help us relax. As we begin Vayikra, Leviticus, the third book of the Torah for another year, we regularly read about God's emotive response to certain offerings. This is termed, according to the translation I'm using here, the English Standard Version, as a pleasing aroma to the Lord. This gives the impression of some sort of pleasure response on God's part. Before I address what may be going on here specifically, I want to discuss more generally what Scripture means when it refers to God's having what appears to be very human-like experiences. Many theologians assert that such references are a type of metaphor, figure of speech, called personification or anthropomorphism. Anthropomorphism is when non-human creatures or objects are portrayed in human-like ways. Examples commonly found in books and movies include talking animals, toys, or cars. Personification is when the actions of a non-human creature or object are described in human-like ways. This is so when weather threatens or pain shouts. Most examples like this when pertaining to God would be categorized as personification, such as when he regretted making Saul king in Samuel chapter 15 verse 11, or one day exulting over his people with singing in Zephaniah 3 verse 17. It's important to understand how these and many other examples of God's having or expressing human-like attributes or emotions represent what he is experiencing. Through history, many have undermined the power and meaning of such metaphors by asserting that God can't be affected by human behavior. They conclude that these metaphors are used for our sakes alone in order to confront our beliefs and behaviors, while God himself is absolutely unmoved. If God can be affected by his creation, how would he then retain control? Philosophically, I see the problem, but the Bible doesn't attempt to satisfy our desires for an exhaustive philosophical system. Instead, it provides what we need to know in order to live effective godly lives. That includes, in God's wisdom, all sorts of descriptions of himself that are human-like. Isn't that God's way of coming down to our level so that we can understand that which is completely beyond our comprehension? To some extent, yes. However, when God reveals himself in these ways, what's the point if they don't represent reality? When Psalm 2 verse 4 tells us that God laughs at the conspirators, if he isn't really laughing, what then is he doing? If God is as unmoved as some say he is, then it seems to me that what we are left with is nothing more than a mechanical universe, while created by God is simply behaving according to design. God isn't involved, even though he is ultimately responsible for creation's impersonal reactions. But is that the reality the Bible reflects? Is not God personally involved in human affairs? Does he not communicate to and through people? Is it not more reasonable to accept that God actually experiences the emotions as told us through Scripture? I suggest that our human experiences are a real, though comparably feeble, reflection of what God is experiencing. Our emotions, therefore, are a taste of what God is truly feeling. Once we accept that God is experiencing something very real in response to properly instituted offerings, we're able to look more carefully at the expression, pleasing aroma. The word translated as pleasing, nihuach, is derived from the word nuach, meaning to rest or to settle down. This is why some translations prefer soothing aroma. It's not just that God likes these offerings, it's that they soothe him, the picture being one of God's being agitated by sinful behavior but calmed by the act of sacrifice. Of course, we know from other parts of Scripture that it wasn't the offering itself that made the difference, but the heart of the person making the offering. And so it was with such a heart the Messiah himself not only gave himself, but did so as an example to us all. As we read in the New Covenant writings, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2, conduct yourselves in love, just as the Messiah loved us and gave himself for us as a sweet-smelling offering and sacrifice to God. the great universal effect accomplished by the Messiah's sacrifice is to be reflected in the healing aroma of our lives.
Torah Bites is located on the web at www.torahbites.org. Comments may be sent to info@torahbites.org. You can follow us on Twitter at Torah Bites. Until next time, this is Alan Gilman for Torah Bites. Lehitraot.